Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Little Magic by Lindsay Lanza. Narrated by Shayna Somerville and Stephen Bourne. For my part, I know nothing with any certainty, but the sight of the stars makes me dream. Vincent van Gogh. Part 1. Sugar Valley. Once, very long ago, time fell in love with fate. Aaron Morgenstern. Chapter 1. Now, December 1st, 2023. Ellie. When does a heart stop breaking? People are too quick to use the past tense. He broke her heart. They were heartbroken. It sounds so final. The last note in a song, the period at the end of a sentence. But a heart doesn't shatter like an egg. A small mess to be cleaned up and forgotten. No. A breaking heart merely cracks, opening old and new fissures over time. It is a level 1 earthquake, almost undetectable to the world around you, with aftershocks that come about so surprisingly, they feel like an entirely new seismic event. Can we end the breaking? Speed it up. Do anything to alleviate the ache? Or are we just left with painful memories to shove as far back in our mind as we can, in the hope that nothing sparks them? I have been sparked. My computer screen, normally my place of calm and happy, has turned on me. Sugar Valley Village. The words blur in my unblinking gaze, turning my vision hazy. I don't need sight right now. All my other senses have been lit, stoked, and are burning bright around me. The taste of rich cocoa and peppermint, air scented by snow and spruce, sweetened with a little magic. Hello, Earth to L? Midnight snow angels, kissing in the cold, flying across the ice until I'm breathless and... Ellie! Fingers snap in front of the screen, dragging my attention back to the now. My gaze tilts and I look out the window, finding a crystal blue sky hovering over my favorite orange bridge. It's the first day of December. But you wouldn't know it here in San Francisco. Just another 65-degree day with a bit of fog that's already burned off. I love this view from our little office in the Marina District. But when December hits, I just miss snow. Are you okay? Maya peers down at me and slides a finger across my cheek. I didn't realize I had let a tear slip. Sorry. Yeah, I'm fine. Just dealing with a flood of memories I am completely unprepared for. Dr. Green will have a field day with this at our next session. L? Yes. I finally answer her original question. Have you ever heard of this place? I've been there. Years ago. It was shut down when I was a kid. I stare back at the screen, at the article Maya found from some local Vermont news site, at the photo of the entrance sign for Sugar Valley Village, at the arrow pointing to Fox Family Tree Farm, and the second photo of a man standing in the trees who can only be described as jolly. I blink away the next tear and hand the computer back to Maya. This article says it was closed for over a decade. But apparently, this new owner brought it back to life and he's turning it into an all-season resort. And he looks like freaking Santa Claus. She barely pauses to take a breath, her excitement growing as quickly as her words. It's perfect for Wander's December newsletter, don't you think? A Vermont winter village revival story? We have to go check it out, and based on your face right now, I'm thinking the job is yours. When's the last time you were home? Maya is not only my business partner, but my best friend in the world. And she knows exactly how long it's been since I was home. Because it was right before I moved to the Bay Area 6.5 years ago and met her. I give her a look that reminds her as much. Okay. So I know you have this aversion to home and seeing your family, but I really think this would be a great opportunity for us. She's probably right. We started Wander while we were still in college together at UC Berkeley. What began as her local sightseeing blog has now become one of the top boutique travel sites in the U.S. We've started getting acquisition offers from major travel sites as well as interests in substantial funding. But we don't want to make any decisions until we've hit all the goals we initially set out to achieve. We specialize in finding the hidden gems, destinations that are off the beaten path, places that most often require a guide, us, to make the most of it. Highlighting a place as magical and truly hidden as Sugar Valley, well, it could have a bigger impact than I care to admit. You're right, Maya. It's a great idea, but I'm not going. I'm the developer, remember? Technically, I am the head developer. But I scout new destinations almost as much as she does. Part of the appeal of working together was having the opportunity to explore the world after 19 years of staying in one place. And, of course, the flexible hours of being my own boss, making it a no-brainer compared to other engineering jobs in the Bay. The ability to work from bed whenever I need is inevitably what made the decision for me. You should go. Oh, you know I would. But Greg and I are leaving on Saturday for Mallorca, remember? This article says the grand opening for Sugar Valley Village is on New Year's Eve. There's no way I could get there in time to cover it before then. Can't one of the interns... Maya's death stare stops me from finishing the outlandish question. Last time we sent one, Alicia, on a scouting trip, she never came back. You wouldn't think to be worried about a Stanford grad getting swept up in rural Montana life, but I should have learned from years of reading romance novels that a sexy ranch hand was bound to appear and win her heart in under a week. Hell, please don't hate me for saying this. But don't you think it'd be a good idea for you to go back? You wouldn't even have to see your family, but maybe it would be healthy to just be there. To know that you can do it. You sound like Dr. Green. When did you get so wise? I quip, avoiding the heaviness in my chest. And she's right. It's ridiculous that I'm afraid of being back in Vermont, the state I spent most of my life in. I am 25 years old, and I'm not the same person I was when I left home. I have grown up, experienced life. I've experienced freedom. Maya is my rock, but I am dependent on no one but myself. I see my rheumatologist, endocrinologist, dietitian, and therapist regularly, without anyone else reminding me to do it. I have been to a rave, done ecstasy, surprisingly not at the same time. I walked the length of the Golden Gate Bridge, climbed Twin Peaks, got drunk in Napa, and went home with the sommelier. I have had sex with 3 different men, one who said he loved me just before I ended things a few months back. I'm an adult now. Everything has changed. And yet, it also hasn't. The truth is, Maya doesn't know everything about my past. She doesn't know the real reason I fled Vermont and never looked back. Because it had everything to do with those three words. Sugar Valley Village. Chapter 2. December 24th, 2006. Ellie. After almost 2 weeks of bed rest and way too many hours flipping between Jeopardy and Food Network, my morning finally started without any pain. I woke up to the smell of my favorite blueberry pancakes and maple syrup. Still feeling the high from last night's Hanukkah gift. A puppy! I'd asked if he could sleep with me last night, but Mom said he had to stay in his crate until we could train him. I raced downstairs, excited for my special breakfast and to play with Noodle, but stopped when I got halfway. Why can't I go skating? Ezra's voice traveled up the steps as my smile fell. My brother was not happy. Theo invited me to his family's skating rink, his own rink. And it's not just ice skating. They have a farm with goats and stuff and pizza. Morning, Ellie. How's my birthday girl? Mom found me walking into the kitchen. It's not even her birthday today. Midnight doesn't count. It's tomorrow. Ugh. Ezra, scolded my mom. Be nice to your sister. And you know why we celebrate today. Everything is closed on Christmas. Morning, sweet pea, Dad said, finally looking up from his newspaper. And stop playing dumb, Ez. It's Ellie's special day and we're spending it as a family. So stop asking. As with most family conversations, I let them duke it out while I stayed quiet. I knew Ezra was annoyed with me. I made him miss hockey practice twice last week. I had been at the hospital a lot lately, and sometimes he had to come with us. I felt bad that he missed practice, but I also wished he liked spending time with me once in a while. Sweetie, how are you feeling this morning? Does anything hurt today? Mom rested her hand on my forehead and then my cheek, checking my temperature like she did multiple times a day. I feel fine, I said, pushing her away so I could get back to the pancakes. I risked a glance at my big brother, wondering if he would speak to me today. He was wearing the permanent scowl reserved specifically for me, the only acknowledgement I would be receiving. I hated that he never smiled around me. While his friends were over, he was like a completely different person. Dad walked over to the crate we set up last night and grabbed my new furry friend. When my parents presented the Bernedoodle to me yesterday, Ezra screamed and ran to his room. I knew why he was so upset, because he'd been begging for a dog since forever. But my parents always said they didn't have time for one. My dad was the dean at the local college and worked long hours, and Mom recently quit her job at a big law firm to teach classes there part-time. She only made the switch so she would have more time to take care of me. It was my fault they were so busy. Their schedules filled with doctor's appointments and sudden trips to the emergency room. It made sense why we couldn't have a dog. Then, a few weeks ago, I heard my doctor telling Mom another pet might be good for me. Therapeutic was the word he used. I remembered because I asked him how to spell it. It was right after he said I had something called lupus. Mom's cousin had the same disease, but it took years to get diagnosed. When I started getting sick all the time and never had energy to play, Mom was convinced I had the same thing. She argued with a lot of doctors because they said I was too young to test for lupus. But my mom was scary when she wanted to be. She used her trial lawyer voice, and eventually, they gave in. I couldn't tell if she was happy when they told her she was right.
Are you sure you don't want to think a little harder on his name, sweet pea?
Dad placed the puppy in my arms, and he licked my nose. It tickled in the best way. Of course not. Noodle Kugel is the perfect name for him, and I can call him Nudes for short.
Judy, a little help. You didn't have a problem letting her name the cat Latka. I like the name Latka. It suits her. But I can't have my 8-year-old running after the pup yelling Nudes.
Oh, I think it's a great name. Kugel's her favorite food, and now he will be her favorite furry friend. Thanks, Mom, I said. Then I turned and crossed my arms. And I'm gonna be 9 tomorrow, Dad. I'm not a little kid anymore.
Oh, don't I know it, my little mastermind.
Dad sighed.
Well, since you're such a big girl, are you going to help me walk Noodle here?
Yes! I ran to the mudroom and grabbed my coat. But before I could put it on, Mom bombarded me with a tube of sunscreen to slather all over my face. Mom, it's snowing outside. I think I'll be okay.
There's still sun peeking through those clouds, baby. There. Done. Oh, wait. Before you go, what do you want to do today? If you feel up for it, we can go get ice cream or see a movie. Anything you want, sweetie.
I did feel good enough to go out, which wasn't always the case. Some days I was too tired to get out of bed, especially the past few weeks. I really wanted to make a snowman, but I knew Ez would make fun of me and say it's just for little kids. He turned 11 in August, but acted like our 2-year age gap was an entire decade. I wished I could play sports like he did, but I was sick too often and didn't have the energy. I wasn't tired today, though, and all I really wanted for my birthday was for my big brother to like me. I want to go ice skating. Mom placed a hand on my shoulder.
Really? We've never gone skating before. It might be too much for you. I don't want you to push yourself, honey.
Ezra finally tore his gaze from the stack of pancakes. His eyes lit up like fireworks.
She doesn't even have to skate. She can just go look at the goats or something.
I looked back at my parents. Yeah, I like goats. If it's too hard, I'm sure there will be other things I can do. I saw them have some silent conversation before asking a few more times if I was sure. But there was no way I could change my mind after seeing my big brother smile at me. Finally. Sugar Valley was an hour drive from where we lived in Burlington. Dad decided Noodle should come with us, so I got to hold him in my lap the whole way there. He was the cutest thing I had ever seen in my whole life. There was a white stripe down the middle of his face, chest, and belly, but both sides of him were brown and black. He was so soft and fluffy, I just wanted to bury my face in him. I had never been to an ice skating rink before. I hadn't been to many places, actually. Mom barely even let me go to school last year. She was always so worried about me wearing myself out. I had no idea what this place would be like, so I was surprised by how sparkly everything was. We pulled through a gate that was wrapped in fairy lights, just shy of twinkling in the midday sun. The words Sugar Valley Village flared to life, beckoning us through the main gate. And then we stopped at a large sign that had arrows pointing in every direction. Mom said I was a really good reader and that I was already at a 5th grade level, probably from how much time I spent alone with my books or watching game shows like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. so I caught all the words on the sign. The arrow that pointed to the left said Moon River Rescue and Sanctuary, while the one to the right said Fox Family Tree Farm.
Reindeer Rink!
Ezra exclaimed.
Go straight!
Reindeer Rink. It sounded like something from a storybook. Ezra practically flew out of the SUV as soon as we parked. I had heard of his friend Theo before, but he'd never been to our house, so I didn't know much about him. He introduced himself at the village entrance and surprised my whole family by giving each of us a hug.
Is that a puppy?
Theo pointed to my arms, his eyes wide and sparkling. This is Noodle Kugel the Bernadoodle, I announced proudly, holding him up Simba style. And I'm Eliana, but you can call me Elle.
Cool. Is he gonna come skating too?
Oh no,
Dad murmured, swooping in and taking the pup out of my arms.
He'll stay with me while you kids go.
Ezra chose this moment to step in front of me.
Actually, Ellie can't skate, so she'll just stay with the dog. But we can go now.
I knew I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. Ezra never wanted to hang out with me. Just because I used my birthday card to get him to the rink never meant he would actually consider including me. I turned my face down, hoping no one would notice my disappointment, but of course, I could see my parents' frowns.
Ezra, it's her special day. Why don't you at least take her with you and try it out?
Mom scolded. We'll be watching in case anything happens. She shouldn't be out there for more than a few minutes anyway.
Mom, jeez, I don't want to babysit. She said she would just look at the goats, remember? Right, Ellie?
Sure. That's fine. I don't have to skate. But even as I said it, I couldn't look away from the rink ahead of us. It was glittering in the afternoon sunlight, people gliding in wide circles with their arms in the air. It looked like freedom, and I desperately wanted a taste of it.
I'll teach her.
Forehead snapped to Theo, shocked by his offer. For me, it was shock and awe. He was being nice to me under no obligation, something I didn't have much experience with. Really? I said, as my brother interrupted with,
No way!
Dude, it's no problem. I've spent so much time helping out with the lessons they run here, I feel like an actual instructor.
After a few words of advice from my parents, Not too fast, please be careful, stay close to the rail, we got fitted for skates and made our way to the ice. It was a little embarrassing how differently I was dressed than the boys. Mom made me wear a huge puffy coat that went down to my knees and wrapped a thick scarf around my neck that hid the entirety of my long brown hair. My mittens were just as thick and had elastic ties around the wrist to keep them from getting loose. I knew I was younger than Ezra and Theo, but I really looked like a child next to them.
All right. Don't be scared, Ellie. I'll hold on to you the whole time, okay?
Theo took each of my mittened hands in his and showed me how to balance walk toward the ice.
Bend your knees a little more. It'll make it easier.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Once we stepped onto the ice, I felt a chill run through me. Not from the cold, but adrenaline. It was like a cool breeze settling over my skin, even though I was covered head to toe in winter wear. Theo skated backwards while he pulled me along like cargo. I knew I looked silly, but I didn't care. I loved every second of it.
Are we gonna have to go this slow the whole time?
My brother whined.
You go ahead, Ez. I need to show her how to stop and slow down before I let her go on her own.
Fine,
See ya.
Ezra zipped past us, causing a few gasps from nearby skaters. He was trying to show off, but he was pretty good on the ice. According to him, though, Theo was actually the best skater and hockey player he knew. I felt kind of embarrassed, keeping Theo from racing down the rink with my brother. But he didn't seem annoyed with me. Not like Ezra. So I decided to enjoy it. This is fun.
Yeah? Want to start skating on your own? I'll still hold your hands, but you can move your feet like mine. It's kind of like you're running, but you never pick up your legs.
I mimicked his movements until I could feel us propelling forward. He let go of one of my hands and came around to skate beside me. There were a few times I lost my footing, but he was always there to right me before I went down. He gave me a few tips on how to balance better, and then how to slow down and stop. Skating wasn't so hard after all. After two laps of us skating side by side, Theo let go of my hand. I was so lost in my excitement that I didn't notice my brother fly by us and clip my shoulder until it was too late. Theo slid to a stop, a spray of ice almost reaching me as he called out, "Ellie!" and extended his arm for me to grab onto. But I wasn't fast enough. I catapulted, all 9 years of my life flashing before my eyes as I lost control and went down hard. Goodbye, moon. Goodbye, stars. Goodbye, latke and nudes. It was great while it lasted. I lived, but the ice burned the skin on my face and my elbows screamed after taking the brunt of my fall. And still, the only thing I could think about was trying not to cry.
Ellie, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have let go.
Theo apologized.
You were just doing so well. Can you stand up? Here, take my hand.
Swallowing the pain, I let Theo help me up and drag me off the ice. My parents met us at the entrance and, of course, were overreacting.
Baby, where does it hurt?
Mom started scanning me for bruises, pulling at all the layers she wrapped me in earlier like she was attacking a pile of presents.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Klein. I promise I wouldn't have let go if I didn't think she was fine on her own. I've fallen a million times, though, so I'm sure she's okay.
Mom acknowledged him with a grunt, but I could hear exactly what was going on in her head. I'm sure you're okay when you fall, but that doesn't mean my precious, fragile Ellie will be.
Mom, I'm fine. It hurt a little at first, but I'm all better. Can I please go back?
Back? I don't think so, birthday girl. Let's take a break and find a better activity for you. Ellie, you good?
I looked up at Ezra, surprised he was even talking to me, and gave him a quick nod.
Cool. And now we can actually skate.
He patted Theo's arm. But Theo was still looking at me, concern reaching every corner of his face.
It's your birthday?
Yeah. Well, tomorrow, actually. I'm really fine. You can go back out there.
Why don't we go get you some birthday pizza?
Dad cut in.
I saw a sign for a place on the other side of the rink. The Pizza Emporium. It's really good,
Theo offered.
The crust looks weird, but I promise it doesn't actually taste like peppermint.
Dad looked a little puzzled at that, but grabbed my hand to pull me along with him and the dog. Then he looked pointedly at Ezra.
Go skate and meet us there in 20 minutes. I mean it. 1 second later and you're grounded.
He reached for his phone to pull up a timer for dramatic effect, and Ezra beelined back to the ice.
Our pizza came out as Dad's timer hit minute 7.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?